the phraseology of Chazal is, you know, kol sheyesh bo aser mishamaris ayin, afilu b'chadrei chadarim aser. The question is how to understand that. So one way of understanding that is to say, you know, we don't want people to do something that is aser in other circumstances, because, you know, it's going to lead to a takala. You know, people aren't going to take it seriously. You tell people, oh, you know, if you're inside, you do X, but if you're outside, you can't do X. So, like, you know, it's a chukah v'tlula. It's one way of looking at it. The more that you believe that, the more that you're not really going to be open to exceptions. Another way of looking at it is to say, well, there's an isser called marasayin. And Chazal will decide, you know, what's marasayin and what's not marasayin. But once they determine that something is aser mishum marasayin, so it's aser. So the reason does not impact the scope of the halacha. It's aser mishum marasayin, so it's aser. There are some things that are aser mishum marasayin, there's some things that are aser because they're intrinsically wrong, there's some things that are aser because it's a geder. So it's aser. Okay. So that's another way of looking at it. And if you take that approach, there aren't going to be so many exceptions either. Unless you say that already when Chazal said that this act is going to be aser, because again, the way that it appears, that they had a carve out. Said, well, situations X, Y, and Z, we don't think that this should apply. Okay. Again, the more that you think it's about habituating the person towards the proper behavior, so, you know, it's hard. It's hard to draw these kinds of very subtle distinctions. Then there's a third approach, which is to say, all of that analysis is true when you have something which is what we call aser medina. Like the Gemara will discuss something and say, this is going to be a problem of chashash marasai. But if you don't have something which is an underlying iser, in other words, action X looks like action Y, which is really aser. But let's say action Y isn't really aser. Let's say action Y is aser mitam minag. So then, X, there might be some room for kula. So we're going to experience that today. Maybe, depending on how you think about it. It's machlokes achronim. But let's take a look. So there is an issue, we've discussed it at length, of maisa kvisa during some period, during Bina Mitzarim. So the Mechaber says, Asur le'ivrios l'chabez b'gdei ha'akum b'shavu azo. No surprise on the level of the Mechaber, but a little bit of a surprise that the Ramah is not masig, with a comment that we would observe this from Rosh Chodesh. Conventional wisdom is that the Ramah said, let's let good enough be good enough. It's not really necessary to back this up all the way to Rosh Chodesh. So, Akiva, if you were a betting man, and that's true, again, most of the Achronim thought that was the case, that the Ramah deliberately did not add that Haggah here. Why would that be true? Why might we say, oh, the Ramah is going to treat this differently than Kvisa or Tisbores or Basar Vayayin?
Could be for the reason Rabbi just alluded to about Kula's, like the kind of double Kula, I guess, that it's not really Asur Medina in the first place, so now that we're going to extend it to a Maris Ayin of something that's not really Asur Medina, so we're not really going to be as careful.
Right, so again, so Kvisa could be Asur Medina, interesting. But the idea of a Jewish person doing Kvisa for a non-Jewish person, hard to argue that that's Asur Medina. So the Ramah is not masik here, and most assume that's because he said, okay, we'll only observe this Shavua Shechalba. Fine. So let's see the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham raises the issue. Well, first the Taz. The Taz says, Tam Mishum Chashash Marasayin, leaves it at that. So the Magen Avraham says, Avgad Medina Shari, the Lakasimachak Shemechabe Slacherim, Mikomakom Asr Mibne Maras Ayin, Shein Nikar Shem Shalakum. So that's the Truma Sadeshen. Okay, so that takes it back even further. That's the basis of this. Ve'afshir de Betzina Yesh Lahakel. So the Magen Avraham is not going to sign on the dotted line, but he's going to raise the issue. Gets enormous traction amongst the later Achronim, that in fact, Betzina, we are going to be Mekel. So again, the normal principle would be, Kol Shasr Mishumar Asayin, Afilu Bechadr Chadar Amasr. But, as we noted in our introduction, so that assumes that there's some fundamental underlying Isser that's involved here. And if that's missing, which very well might be, so then Efshar, maybe what we would say is that we can't be so strict on the Marasayin. Pitsina Yesh Lahakel. Vuladin, V'makom Sha'akom Yesh L'malbushim Acherim, D'nikar Shehem Shalakom Shari. If you could make a plausible case that this doesn't look like something which is truly problematic, namely Jewish people laundering their clothes at this time, because nobody would say that that's a Jewish person's clothing, so he's willing to make that extension also, that if the styles are so different, he doesn't think that there would be an Isser in that case either. Okay, so the Magen Avraham says, if Marasayin is the actionable halachic principle at stake here, so two kulas come up, chadrei chadarim, all of a sudden becoming a kula, because fundamentally, there really isn't anything wrong with a Jew doing an act of kvisa for a non-Jew. And likewise, if you could really tell that these are the clothes of a non-Jew, so then there's no isser altogether. It's hard to claim Marasayin when the underlying facts don't support that claim. There doesn't appear to be an act of isser here. Nobody would look at this and say, you have a Jew laundering their clothes during the 9 days. Okay, so that's the Magen Avraham's position. Just hang on 1 second. Okay, but let's see how it got processed by the Yichai Adam. So, Asher Livrios L'chabes Afilu Bigdei Nachrim B'Shavua Shechal Tisha B'Avo Mishum Maris Ha'ayin Shelo Yedu Shehu Shel Nachri Avalim Nikarim Shem Shel Nachri O Bitsina Mutter. It's interesting. So the Chai Adam picks up exactly where the Magen Avraham left off, inverts the order. It's interesting. Says that it seems pretty clear to him that both of these kulas should stand. They would withstand scrutiny. Nikarim shem shel nachri, so there's no basis for Marasayin altogether. The fact pattern is just so different. And nobody's going to say you're a Jewish person is laundering your clothing at this time. And secondly, if it's bitsina, not really concerned about it because the underlying issue here may not be a fundamental isser, but more of an isser mitzad minah. Nearly, the Mirish Chodesh Ad Shabbos Chazon, Afil Lemin Hageno, in other words, Ashkenaz, Gam Ken Mutter Lechabe Shel Nachri, and he puts in parentheses, I'll tell you what I'm being medayik here, V'chein Mash, Mabit Lokasa Ramah, Bazeh, Adeno Agen Mirish Chodesh. Why didn't the Ramah write here that this should stretch back to Rosh Chodesh? Clearly the Ramah felt that this should be treated a little bit differently. But what about the flip side of the coin? V'chein Osir Mitzad HaMinhag, very important line, tells you that the Chai Adam was of the belief that there was no underlying Isser here altogether. Mitzad HaMinhag. So what you guys are now responsible for, and we'll talk about the application, is that maybe the parameters of Marasayin, when the underlying issue is Mitzad HaMinhag, are always more flexible, b'chadrei chadarim. Ephraim, what's the most obvious example of this? Where do we see this most explicitly? Where something is only prohibited, mitzad haminag, and the Gemara itself seems to say, well, if that's the case, then Shimi, where does this come up?
Like, if you have a different minhag of davening in the community where you are in, during in shul, you have to daven like they do, but in your house, you don't have to.
Oh, fourth parak of Pesach. Makom Shenago. Kaitzma next year, we'll take a look at it. So there, it seems pretty clear that Makom Sheyatza Misham, Makom Shehalach Lasham. So a person becomes bound by certain minhagim based on locality. But the Gemara is very quick to distinguish between when you're sort of, you become integrated into that locality by virtue of being in one of the locality's public spaces, as it were, versus when you're in your hotel room. Excellent, Jimmy. So this seems to me to fit into that rubric. Magen Avraham, entirely sure. But the Chai Adam thinks so. So now what about the flip side of the coin? The real minhag, right, is for Jews not to launder their own clothing during the 9 days. So we already dealt with one side of the issue, which is, well, let's say, doing it in the context of working on behalf of some non-Jewish person. What about in the other direction? What about in the other direction? So you're not doing the Maisa, you have no affiliation with the Maisa Kvisa, or a very tenuous affiliation with the Maisa Kvisa. V'chein ha'asur mitzad ha'minog v'chein kelem mechoves es nachr s'chabis m'rish chodesh v'eilach. Afilu tomar lo shetchabes achar tishabav. Aval mutter liten kodem rosh chodesh aval bishakoves es achar rosh chodesh. So what we would call adaita denafshe in halacha. It's even mutter in terms of amir l'nachri on Shabbos. V'mihu ha'tzari chleli chlimber chakim. Maybe on a long trip. No opportunity to launder one's clothes. Mutter l'chabes al yidei nachri afilu l'kama shabbosos. V'al yidei Yisrael im I efshar al yidei nachri v'hu l'tzorech gadol mabach matir magen Avraham v'eli rabba osrin. In fact, it's dealt with in the Rishonim. He says the Ravan has the same chumra. The Jewish person should never be the one to do it. Well, we'll be lenient. It's an extenuating circumstance. It can be a long journey. A Jewish person isn't going to be the one to do the kavisa anyway. So if that were the case, so we would allow the non-Jewish person to do it during that time and prepare, you know, clothing for afilu l'kama shabbosos. So all else being equal, the Chai Adam is suggesting, and the Aruch HaShulchan picks up very strongly on this language, is that there's just like some general harchaka that we want between Jews and kavisa in both directions. So direction number one, again, is that the Jewish person shouldn't be doing it. And the outer limit of that is even if you're not doing it for a Jewish person, still aser, mitam marasayin. The other direction, even if you're disentangled from the maisa kavisa, so, or largely disentangled, because it would just be al yidei amira, so we're concerned about that as well. There's some tziruf, there's some connection between you and what's being done. The only way it would be permissible is if you gave it to them at a time when they could have done it without any problem, and they just choose to do it during the 9 days, and then the Bach, you know, maybe in a situation where a person is really B'shas HaTchak, we're not going to impose it. What's the logic for that? So the logic for that might be, there's a Magen Avraham in Hilchos Chanukah, says that minhagim are not imposed in a milsa de lo shchicha. So it's all predicated on minhag. So you have this very unusual situation. A person happens to be going on a very lengthy trip right now, when there's just no way that they're going to be able to launder their clothes, so the minhag may not cover such a situation. Maybe not. That's the debate that you have here between the Bach and the Magen Avraham himself in terms of how strict we're going to be. So, I just wanted to set up the Mishnah Berurah, then we'll give Akiva the last word on this. So the The Mishnah Berura basically accepts the heterim that the Magen Avraham started to chart out. High standard, anybody could tell. Shehem shalakom yesh lahakel. Uve ein lo maloch malechol vaday kedei chayev shari al kol panim. As the Mishnah Berura says, look, you know, this is an iser mitzad marasayin, but Chazal would have never, ever encouraged a person to starve for this marasayin. Okay? That marasayin is not going to cover a situation, again, especially when the issue is not an underlying iser, but an underlying minag. So if it's a matter of parnasa, you have a person who's running a laundromat, they're probably not, you know, Mike Bloomberg. So there's a lot of evidence here that they could probably continue to do their work. You know, k'dei chayev, elav hu nosei es nafsho. The Chazal had a deep respect for that. Just last week's parsha, right? Kadosh Baruch Hu chas al mamonam shel Yisrael. Vishkitas ha'ida uvi iram. You have to take that seriously. So b'shavuazeh, says the Ramah, says the Zev Magen Ram. This is all again based on the Ramah. Af didan lo nehigen v'rosh chodesh, v'lo kasa Ramah de nogen, af bazem v'rosh chodesh, k'mo shekasav, v'sif shacharzeh, etc. So the Mishnah Berura thought that this issue of Marasayin is really going to be limited to Shavua Shechalvo. So I just wanted to offer a thought about this, and then again turn it back over to Akiva and Yenis. So let's just review. So we established today is that there's a minhag of kavisa at this time, and that minhag, that underlying minhag, generates an issue of Marasayin. And the interesting part of it is that even though for Ashkenazim, the minhag begins at Rosh Chodesh, Ve'ad HaTaynish, the Marasayin on the minhag is limited to Shavua Shechalba. That's the consensus. I mean, you saw that across the board, right? It's based on a diok in the Ramah. Right? The Ramah doesn't argue. The Magen Avraham, the Chayei Adam, the Mishnah, everybody seems to think, okay. So how does that in the end make sense? Anything which is predicated on Marasayin, you would think, like, by definition, it has to be linked back, whether it's Mitzad HaMinhag or Mitzad Ho'iser, it has to be linked time-wise to the Minhag or the Iser in its own right. That's the whole idea. It looks like something that's wrong. So I could totally understand the Heterim, Bishas Adchak, Letzerech Parnasa. But what I have trouble understanding is this time lapse. So maybe we have to refine our understanding of what the Marasayin really means here. Again, everything seems pretty classical, right? Like, oh, well, if the Begadim don't look at all the same, so then it's not Marasayin. People are pretty tolerant of that heter. So, Eitan, what do you think? What's this whole business about Shavua Shechalba?
I think that the Ramah doesn't comment because to create inconsistency in Klal Yisrael across the board when it comes to Marasayin would in itself undermine the halacha of Marasayin. Because if Ashkenazim are doing one thing and Sfardim are doing another thing by Marasayin, so then an Ashkenaz person who sees a Sfard washing clothes of a Nachri between Rosh Chodesh and Shavuot Shechalba, you're going to run into the problem of Maris Ayin right there.
Well, right, but like we're already doing different things in terms of Kvisa and Tisporas and everything else. So there's got to be a pretty wide berth here in terms of like they'll just say, oh, he's Sephardic. Yeah, they don't have the 3 weeks. So Yenison, how do you learn this issue?
Maybe you could say that's a Maris Ayin, not exactly in the traditional sense, but in the sense that of not showing a velus.
You're saying it, just say it a little sharper. I think you're right. So what's the...
Meaning, the reason why we're limiting it to Shpo Shechalba, because if you're saying, even if you say that what's Hakfisa, you're doing for a guy, for anything else, Lamaisa, it doesn't change the fact that you're not making a nicker that this is as mana veilus.
Okay, so that's a very important idea. I think Yedison got us at least halfway there, maybe even a little bit more. Akiva, you want to just finish off the thought and tie it back to some of the things that we pointed out today? Some of the more surprising Aterim?
If Avelus Yeshana is very much community-oriented, so we're going to ground our Avelus practices in widespread community and also bring up issues of Maris Ayin. Now, we might only say that that'll come in because it's Avelus Yeshana, and we've mentioned that that's less chamor because it's been spread out over more generations, so that might be a din in Shavuot Shechalba and not Mirosh Chodesh like other things which might be more Medina grounded. But the issue of Maris Ayin is we don't want anyone thinking that anyone else in the community is having Simcha, because it would ruin the dynamic of Avelus Yeshana, which is all about a community as a whole, the Jewish people as a whole, partaking in Karva Mikdashin.
Okay, so let's put together what Akiva and Yenison said. It's very important. Okay, so we have this notion in Halacha, the Rav really articulated it in a very specific kind of a way, right? That what you were really dealing with was kind of a reverse phenomenon of Shiva Shloshim and Yud Beis Chodesh. But everybody's got to agree on some level, so what you're experiencing over the Bein HaMitzarim Tkufa are increasing levels of Avelos, right? The intensity is increasing. And so what it seems like is going on here is that Kvisa has some Simcha association with it. Now, it's a little surprising, frankly, that we extended to a Maisa Kvisa. It'd be much more intuitive for me if you said wearing new clothes, right? That's also reflected in Shulchan Aruch, right? That feels good. Acquiring new clothes, we studied that at length, the Shachiyano. Washing new, I don't know how many people are so excited about that, but let's stipulate that point. We'll have to grant that point. So, at the most intense level, excluding Tisha B'Av itself, so what we're saying is that this action, this Maisa in Halacha, called Kvisa, is very significant. Somehow it countermands the Avelos, communal Avelos that we're supposed to be experiencing. The Avelos Yeshana that Akiva alluded to. So, as a matter of fact, that the Maris Ayin issue here could actually be decoupled from the underlying minhag not to engage in Kvisa from Rosh Chodesh until the Tainus. That is to say, that sometimes Maris Ayin, if something's going to be us or Mitzad Maris Ayin, we might have to develop like a new idea that Maris Ayin is, like we said, sometimes an intrinsic Isser. Once Chazal say it looks close enough to the thing itself, it's therefore going to be Aser. Sometimes we said, again, it's like a Chashash and a Gavra. So sometimes Maris Ayin can be a reflection of the Chumras HaVera. Maybe when something is only such a significant breach of whatever it is, here it would be the avelos that everybody should be experiencing, do our antennas start going up in terms of Marasayan? So maybe we should think about it this way. Kavisa has a certain level of simcha associated with it. Even a Maisa Kavisa, however much of a chinish that is. But that level of simcha that's associated with Kavisa, so the Ashkenazic minhag will be that starts to erode the communal sense of Avelos starting at Rosh Chodesh. The Sfaradim may not agree to that in general. They may not feel that there's as much of a need for communal Avelos from Rosh Chodesh. But we're not really willing to say that something that looks like that is going to erode the communal Avelos until the Avelos becomes more kaved, more chamor, in which case, all of a sudden, our sensitivity towards breaches in that communal Avelos becomes such that we even now include Marasayan. Marasayan is about a communal sensitivity. So it could be that you have the same action during the 9 days and during Shavua Shechalbo, but because Shavua Shechalbo is intrinsically more intense, it happens to be in practice that most of our Nihugi, Avelos, and Ashkenaz already start with the 9 days, but that doesn't mean that we're denying that Shavua Shechalbo is more intensive. This is one of the Nafka Mina. So because we're that much more sensitive during Shavua Shechalbo, now we'll be sensitive to things that even look like it. So this would be a fascinating study in halacha of where the Maris Ayin is actually decoupled from the underlying Isser or Minhag. Because the Maris Ayin is not to be understood as it looks like doing something which is prohibited, whether that prohibition is mitam iser or mitam minhag, but the maris ayin is aser mitad maris ayin. The maris ayin is aser because it's a close cousin of something which is prohibited. In which case, maybe that sensitivity only gets activated b'shavua shechalbo. And if that's true, now we can explain in a completely different vein why we say that even when this maris ayin becomes activated, it never became activated b'chadre chadarim. Either for the reason, Akiva, that you said, because that's the kula of Avelos Yeshana. It's only really a problem if it's impinging on the community. Or if you want to go more in the direction of what I'm saying, and I think what Yenison was starting to say, is because this isn't an Isser Maras Ayin Mita'am, the underlying phenomenon, but it's because of its closeness to that act. So that's inherently a more dilute Maras Ayin. I think that could be the explanation for why this might be one of those rare exceptions of something that's aser mitzad maris ayin, but b'chadre chadarim will say it's mutter. Go ahead and do it. Go ahead and do it. So what we've said today is really a foundational chakira in the iser of maris ayin. Again, one approach of Maris Ayin is to say that because this action looks like another action, Chazal have to say that it's Aser, and it takes on the status of an Isser in its own right. Again, you can explain that Mitzad the Gavra. You can say that we don't want people doing things that look like other things that are aser. You can explain that in terms of what we call like an independent iser, but it's still fundamentally predicated on the idea that this act is aser, and therefore something that looks like that is also going to be aser, and that's something that looks like it, which is going to be aser, then by definition becomes aser b'chadrei chadarim. It's the classical marasayin, and that would be a more severe version of marasayin. But then there's another kind of marasayin where we're saying something is aser. That means that that's wrong. Could be it's wrong because of a minhag, could be wrong because it's an iser. And now we have something that looks like it. But it's not that it looks like it, and therefore people are going to confuse action B with action A. They're not going to confuse action B with action A. We're confident about that. But Gufa, the reason that action A is usur, because in this case, it cuts against the communal standard of Avelos, that's what we mean by Maris Ayin here. Not that people are really going to confuse laundering the clothes of non-Jews for laundering the clothes of Jews, but it's similar enough. That's a different kind of a Maris Ayin. It's an almost, it's like a Melitza. It's not really Maris Ayin that we're so concerned that you're going to confuse one for the other. It's really more like a Harchata. And if that's true, so then there's reason to say, well, that kind of a marasayan is going to be more subject to certain kinds of heterim. First of all, it may not really begin when the underlying iser begins that we're seeing here between the 9 days and Shavuot Shechalbo. Number one. Number two is it might not be subject to the klal of kol she'aser mitzad marasayan afilu b'chadur chadarim aser. In which case, we might be able to argue that it would apply, not like we did before, it would apply even if the underlying issue was a fundamental iser and not just a minhag. Before we had to say, oh, maybe it's only because the underlying issue is a minhag, so we'll be more mekel on the marasayin of that b'chadrei chadar. So please bear this in mind. These are the possibilities. Sometimes an action is really stigmatized because of its closeness and therefore confusion with something which is aser, mitam minhag or mitam iser, marasayin version 1, I think that's more chamor. And sometimes the very reason that something is aser means that we're going to expand the circle a little bit and prohibit things that are even like it. More like a harchaka, more like a geder. In which case, maybe we'll be more flexible. B'chadrei chadarim. Maybe we're only going to become more sensitive when there's really a fundamental problem, like Shavuot Shechalbo versus Tisha B'Av. So you always have to ask yourself the question, what kind of Maris Ayin am I dealing with here? What are we really concerned about? Okay, Yenis and Nakiva.
Rabbi, can I ask?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. So then, you were saying that